Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
Well, welcome to Q&A. We're so glad to have you joining us this morning. So in just a moment, you'll see a number come up across the bottom of the screen, and that is your opportunity to text in questions from the sermon this morning. So many times we'll say, if you've got something stirring in your mind, likely someone else has the same question. So we want to invite you to send it in. And this morning, we have a special guest with us this morning. So I'll let Doug introduce our special guest.
Thanks, Tracy. Our special guest, if you can see clear, is my sister, my older sister. She can whack me later. So I'm excited to have her. Her name is Vicky, and Vicky, 3 years older than me, super involved as an instrument of the Lord in my own spiritual journey. So grateful for that. And she and her husband are actually... been church planters in a little town in Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, and making a huge difference in making a huge difference in that little town in a church of Pine Grove Community Church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so let me just start. So you can get to know Vicky a little bit. Ask her just a simple question. If you could tell us how you came to the position of dispensational.
Oh.
No, I'm just playing.
Way to get started there, Doug.
Just playing. Nobody cares about that. you stood up as one who said. It was an invitation. So tell us a little bit about that invitation.
Absolutely. So the invitation actually wasn't to receive Christ as my Savior. I had already crossed from death to life, but wasn't living in that relationship with Christ at all. Hmm. And then a schoolmate, a girl by the name of Melinda, invited me to a camp.
Okay. And what age were you?
I was 10, 10 years old. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
10 or 11, something like that. And it was at that camp, truly, that I learned what it meant to follow Christ with my life and made that choice,
right.
Changed the whole trajectory of my life, that invitation.
And not only spiritually, but some other ways.
Oh, in every way. I went on to marry the camp director's son.
Well, there you go.
Not the only reason I was there, though. My mother thought that's the only reason I went to camp.
We don't believe in child brides. And
no.
So it wasn't a 10-year-old, but
no,
many
absolutely.
Years later, she ended up marrying the
characters.
So pretty powerful.
Yeah, and learned how to do ministry there. So many things. The whole trajectory of my life by that one invitation.
Right. That is the power of the invitation. So I wanted to encourage anyone listening, Melinda would have never known. She wouldn't have said, if she would have known, hey, this will be the path where Vicky starts walking with Jesus and she finds her husband and it's going to be how she's going to live her life for the next 2 days. That's an easy invitation, but we don't know what the Lord's going to do. You simply go, come and see, come and experience, and then see what the Lord does.
Right.
So, very
absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A great story.
Yeah.
Well, running off of that one, saying, we're not sure how the Lord's going to use an invitation. One question here, how would you respond to someone when you invite them to church and they say they don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You want to go first or you want me to go?
You go first.
Okay. I'll start and you can make it better. That's the way my kids say it. So I'll answer and you can make it better. First of all, when people say true things, agree with them.
Right.
So
sure.
It is true. I do not need to go to church to be a Christian. So rather than seeing that as a put off to attending church, see as an invitation to the gospel. So I think a great follow-up to that would be, tell me your understanding then, if it's not going to church that makes you a Christian, tell me your understanding of what it does, what is required to be a Christian. And that way you're not telling them truth that they can either agree or disagree with. You are hearing what their response would be. So I think I'd ask them that question.
Right. And I think it gives you another opportunity for testimony, too.
Yeah.
Because, yes, going to church isn't what makes me a Christian, but this is what being there has done for me. Mm-hmm. You know, the sense of community, the sense of understanding and right. belonging, and to invite them to that. Like, right. like you said, that they would come and belong and then maybe come and believe.
I think that so what we're saying is agree that that's not the gospel.
Right.
Because people have all sorts of gospel misconception. And so clarify, that's not the gospel. If they articulate an accurate understanding of the gospel and reflect, yeah, I am born again, but I don't feel the need to go to church.
Right.
Now we're dealing with something different than I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Now the question on the table is, I don't have to go to church if I am a Christian. So those are times where I think it's best to simply allow the scripture to speak through himself. So you could pick like Hebrews 10:25 and just say, hey, well, let's see what the scriptures has to say. And you simply go there and go, and would you read this verse for me? And where it says, don't forsake the gathering, the assembling of yourselves together as long as it's called today. That's 10:25, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Hebrews 10:25. So if you can, instead of it being your opinion, just open the scriptures, have them read it. Mm-hmm. You're not making them feel like a child. Hey, just let's talk about this. So read this. How do you reconcile what your practice is with what the scripture here says? And so again, you're not trying to get people. You're not trying to win an argument.
Right.
But when people, and we all do it in our own ways, so we're not just casting stones here. When we are living outside of what the scripture says, we ought to allow the scripture to speak for itself and let the scripture be the noose around the neck as opposed to us mm-hmm. being the noose around the neck.
And there's power in a story there, your own testimony. Well, here's what I've experienced through being in community
yeah.
within the church. Because it can be easy to fall into that. No, I'd rather just be on my own.
Right.
It can be hard to push into community, but to be able to share your experience and the benefit of that, because it takes time to build those relationships. And then when you hit that hard in your right. life, those relationships are huge and they're
sure.
a game changer.
All right. So let's keep it real here.
Oh boy.
Here we go. She loves when I do this. Because I get to ask the question now. So either of you can go first. What have you found? Because that's what the testimony statement is. I have found attending church, not to make me a Christian, but yeah. I have found church to be valuable in my spiritual journey.
Wow. Totally for support when I didn't feel like I had what I needed. And I knew theoretically that Christ was enough.
Right.
But sometimes we experience that so much more in the context of community.
Yeah.
You know, we experience what we know we already have because we experience it with his people.
Sure.
He uses his people to mm-hmm. reveal to us what he's already given us. And so, yeah, that sounded like a theoretical answer.
No.
But when the, like you said in your sermon, when the crisis of life is on the table, God's people
right.
Administer, give us his riches in a way that we don't have on our own. We don't experience on our own.
And yeah, and experiencing God through people is not saying that God was not sufficient. It's saying that sufficiency of God is through people. And so mm-hmm. the Lord himself said to Adam, it's not good for man to be mm-hmm. alone.
Right.
So there was community before there was a sin. There we need community after. So you would say, I have found the community that I need in crisis and difficult times.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to jump in, Tracy?
Exactly the same on that. In those difficult times, I've experienced family, extended family. But then I also think about how I've experienced different characteristics of the Lord through people. So him as provider, him as compassionate and caring and loving and supportive and then encouraging, but also corrective as well.
Exactly.
And so just in the gentleness and experiencing that through him, but then also experiencing it through other people
sure.
and relationships is so encouraging and then makes me want to extend that to others, you know, based off of my experience.
Cool. Thanks. Appreciate you sharing. So there's a gospel clarity to the question. There's gospel clarity. There's the biblical mandate. And then there's the personal testimony for how we can go, well, here's what we have found in community.
Absolutely. And so through building ministries and working through church plants, so you have a lot of different personalities and different people types. So a question here, how do you invite or engage with someone you have absolutely nothing in common with? It can be hard to build relationships.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You're itching. I can tell.
Oh, I think we have a whole lot more in common than we might think. I think we at baseline are at level ground. And I think we need to find that level ground. And we certainly see that in the life of Christ with the woman at the well and with all of the people he interacted with. He was God in flesh, but he found common ground. I think we just don't try to find it, either because of fear or pride. We don't like the Christ followers intentionally are with people who are not yet followers. I think the word that stands out to me, they are there intentionally, and we intentionally find common ground. Anyway, that's my answer. I don't know if it's the right one.
It's a good one.
Little brother.
Yeah, there is. I would agree. There's Jesus found common ground by going, oh, we both like to eat. Let's eat together.
Yeah, right.
And so most people like to eat. There's always common ground.
And everybody eating. Eats water. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Found the water.
And then recognize the beauty of the body of Christ is it's bigger than you. Sometimes the most important thing I can do in the invitation is in that process, connect them to other folks who might more naturally connect with them. When I meet folks in the courtyard, the last thing I'm trying to do is connect everybody to me. What I'm wanting to do is to help people find connection with one another. So that's the beauty of the breadth of the body of Christ as well, is that though I might not be like you, there are brothers and sisters around here who are more like you than maybe I'm like you. So that's the invitation, come and see. And so if you invite someone to a service, you invite them to participate in something, make one of your objectives not only for them to experience whatever is happening, but take the opportunity to introduce them to others and find common ground. Simple things like, where do you live? Where do you work? What do you have in the way of children? Where do you grow up? And it's amazing the amount of common ground that's discovered in those questions with other people as well. So I think seeing the body of Christ bigger than ourselves is important. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. And even those who may not have come to church, you know, you think about neighbors or people who you know don't know Christ yet, what are their interests? You can also, I've been challenged by that. Okay. So how can I have a common interest with them? Do I start a new interest so I can build a relationship with them?
You guys are a lot more spiritual than I'm always looking for somebody else. I'm like, oh, you like baking? Meet my wife. Yeah. You like flowers? Meet my sister, because I don't want to do any of those things.
Oh, I love flowers.
See? Yes. Yes.
That's a great common ground. Plants with people.
Yes.
And the season of life that I'm in with grandchildren. Oh, well, our children, that's a bridge, you know, relationships build a bridge with people, because we all long for those relationships. So yeah, to connect on that level, you can do that any cross-cultural experience. That's what you would do. So that's what we do in this culture too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, moms with children are almost gonna always have a connection.
Yeah, right.
Children have different names, different looks, but are largely the same. Same challenges, right?
Yes. Very similar challenges. Yes. Without even words, you often know what the other mom is thinking.
Exactly. And what her longings are and what her needs are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I'm already out of this conversation because two moms are connected.
That's great. Well, is there anything else you didn't get to fit in here that you wanted to ask Vicki today?
Well, anything that I have a question, but I should, before I ask my question, wide open territory in terms of as you listened, as you thought about your church, as you thought about maybe even your experience. I'd give you even your experience this morning here at CFC. You may go, Doug, it wasn't very friendly, or you can tell us.
Oh, no, I think it was very friendly.
It was good.
Yeah, it was very good. I also have the advantage of dropping a pretty powerful name. So,
Tracy?
No. So that's good. But I think that's a good question to ask people. How did you find us this morning? Yeah. But yes, I found the church very friendly. Sure, okay. I parked in visitor parking and walked through a door that they helped me know where to go. And it was very clear. It was good. What the point that stands out in your message, I think that the dependence is so powerful. I think, fear and sometimes pride, I think, keep us from doing the invitation, the testimony, and the hospitality. But
so unpack that a little bit. You've used fear and pride twice now.
Yeah.
Let's start with fear. What's the fear that you would put words to in offering hospitality?
Well, I would the fear that I have put, but I think it's prideful fear, is that what I have to offer isn't as good as what someone else might have to offer.
Hmm.
That it's not good enough, and so therefore, I shouldn't offer it.
Right.
Which, that's the beauty of doing a cross-cultural ministry, is you see people who have way less than I have offering it to me, and I need to be that same person.
Right. Vicky was just in India. We found out after the fact that we were both in India. I was in northern India. She was in southern India.
Like within a month of each other.
Yes. And you've talked about it a number of times over the last few days in terms of what your experience was there. And so part of it was a hospitality that challenged you.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if my floor is dirt. And all I have to give you is rice. You know what I mean? I say they can't have their own bathroom, so they can't sleep at my house. They don't even have a bathroom.
Right.
They're welcoming me into their house. So it's like that I think the enemy lies to us and say you don't have what's good enough.
Right. Okay, I interrupted you. You were talking about hospitality spoke to you. Pride and fear stops us. Anything else that you wanted to speak about in terms of hospitality? Because you're a very hospitable person. What have you learned about hospitality over the years? And that's kind of an open-ended question.
Yeah, I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
I think, though, that and this is where dependence comes into all of those things. I think that we put too much of the weight. Okay, yes, we must obey. We must do our part. But I think we try to do his part in all of those things.
Right.
And sometimes we just totally get it backwards. We try to do his part and neglect our own part.
Right. Or we'll pray, Lord, do your part, but we don't do
ours. We don't do ours.
Right? Yeah. Or if we'll go, we see the Lord doing his part. Okay, now we'll jump in and do our part versus the act of faith of saying, I'm going to do my part and trust that the Lord will do his part. So.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's powerful. I mean, hospitality is so fun. It can be so challenging. Like you said, if we're stuck in fear and pride,
I think for me, hospitality is it's the thought of the costliness. Because when I invite people into my life, now I can't just do the only things that is going to just cost me attention and ease. So that's the price of hospitality.
It is, yeah.
And often those reminders afterwards, why was I concerned about that? That, was fantastic. And those are those reminders to pull out each time those truths like, it wasn't bad. It was great. It went well. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And those reminders. Well, thank you guys so much for your question. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for
having you. We hope you have a fantastic afternoon. And the Lord gifts you with lots of opportunities for invitation and hospitality and to share your testimony. So hope you have a great afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.